Hello, dear brothers and sisters. This is Jim Pinto. Welcome to At Home with Jim and Joy. We're delighted to have you with us today. I'm saying we, but Joy's not with us today. She wasn't feeling well, so she's taking this time off to recover. Please pray for Joy. She's going to do just fine. Really miss her today. It's something when you don't have your mate with you, and two are better than one, but I'll do the best that I can. And I hope that you'll participate today. We want to hear from you. You can always email us or call us. You can send your questions and comments to Jim and Joy at EWTN or check us out on Facebook. What a day today is, right? I mean, we have the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, a solemnity today of the Blessed Virgin Mary, her Immaculate Conception, which is just like absolutely awesome and amazing. It's her conception. It often gets confused with Jesus's conception. As Gabriel came to Mary and said that she would conceive, and she said, well, I don't know a man. How will this take place? By the power of the Spirit. And Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and Mary was providing her DNA, and Jesus gets a face through the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was herself conceived without sin. No original sin, by a singular act of God, actually applying the mercy, the grace, in some sense, the blood of Christ to this woman, Mary, who Jesus had chosen to be his mother. That's awesome. The Father chose her to be the mother of Jesus. So she's immaculately conceived. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord's with thee. Hail Mary, full of grace. Even before she conceived, she was filled with grace from that very moment of conception. God's mercy in her life. No original sin. We're also going to focus on St. John the Baptist today. We heard in last Sunday's readings from the book of Matthew, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight his paths. What an awesome word from John. We're in the season of Advent, the second week of Advent. The second candle is lit. Are we preparing to meet the Lord? Are we preparing well to meet the Lord Jesus Christ? So he's calling me. He's calling you today. And he says in another gospel lesson, bring down the high places. So we need to renounce anything high, lifted up within us, puffed up about ourselves. Bring down the high places in your life. Raise up the low places in your life. Stop being serpentine and crooked. Get rid of the crookedness, Jim. And make a straight way. For the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is coming. Yes, his second coming, but in the Nativity. Jesus Christ is God with skin, God made poor, God with a face. Oh, come, let us behold him, Christ the Lord. John is filled with love from the womb, filled with the power of the Spirit from the womb. He preaches hard words because he wants us to be as ready as we can possibly be, to be anticipatory about this one who's coming, so that we would shrink back in fear, so that we're able to look upon the face of Jesus Christ, to see him in the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, to behold his second coming and not shrink back in fear, to prepare properly, that we would not be afraid on that day. So the theme for today's show is, in what ways does John the Baptist hold significance for you in this Advent season? In what ways does John the Baptist hold significance for you in this Advent season? 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. The number should be there. Hey, help me out today. Joy isn't here. Give me a phone call, Facebook us, email us. Share about John the Baptist, what he means to you. Or maybe you want to share about the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So give us a call. I'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away. Welcome back. We're speaking about St. John the Baptist, his significance to you in your Advent preparations for the coming of Jesus Christ, better than John the Baptist, to give us instruction. He who had the words from the Lord, he was called to be the forerunner from his womb, relative of Jesus. Mary visits Elizabeth, her kin, and she brings Jesus to Elizabeth and Jesus to John. Mary is carrying Jesus, the eternal Word made flesh, gestating in her womb. What? Awesome. How holy. Speechless. But she comes because she received not only from the word that the angel Gabriel shared with her about how she would conceive, but shared also that your kinswoman, Elizabeth, is also pregnant well after conceiving time of age. So another miraculous conception there. By the way, you can call us 1-800-221-9460, 205-271-2980. We want you to call us and be a part of this show. We also want you to keep us on air, so donate to EWTN, please, in this Advent season. So many programs that we're putting on. We wanted to take a moment to thank you all and to ask you to keep that support coming at this time, especially at a time where everything's about Christmas and this and that, but nobody mentions the name of Jesus Christ. And you notice that in commercials and other shows, and it's all about so many other things, which can help maybe lead you to Jesus, but where is the name of Jesus? Where is the nativity of Jesus? Where are people speaking about the eternal Word made flesh? Where is the conversation about a little child will lead them? So here's John the Baptist, here's Jesus in the wombs of their mothers. And it says that John was I think it's briefos, he was a baby. The Bible shares about children in the womb being babies, made in the image and likeness of God. So we believe from that very moment of conception and the sanctity and the dignity of every human being. And what an emphasis. I received a Christmas card from Bishop Baker, our former bishop here, head bishop. And he had a beautiful picture of Mary and Elizabeth and the babies in their wombs being together. The babies looked like they were kind of jumping around. John was anointed in the womb, filled with the Holy Spirit, John, in the womb. And he had that mission. He had that calling, which he fulfilled. Repent. We are called to repent in the season of Advent. That's a blessing to repent, to say no to sin and yes to Christ. Repent. Believe in the kingdom. Make straight a way for Jesus Christ. And so it sounds like a little bit like fire and brimstone, and there is judgment there. There is a heaven and a hell. But he's saying these things because he loves the people. And even as he preached out in the wilderness, people were coming to him to repent, and he would baptize them. It's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit baptism. It's a preparatory baptism, a washing, a cleansing. He may have well been an Essene, who was a group at that time that believed in baptisms and washings and that the imminent return of the Lord was coming. The Lord was coming, the Messiah was coming, not the return, but the Messiah. And he may have been a part of that group. And so he's calling people to repentance and faith. And then he saw some of the scribes and Pharisees and others came out, and he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee the wrath to come? The axe is laid to the root of the tree. Repent, repent, be baptized." I don't know how many of them came, but other people came. You know what it says? They were confessing their sins. They were sharing their sins, probably out loud. Thank God that we have the sacrament of reconciliation, right? We don't have to yell out our sins, but we do have to confess them. We confess them directly to the Lord, but especially if we have mortal sin, we want to go before our priest. We should go at least once or twice a year. I think that's required, at least once a year, and confess our sins in private and to repent, to receive the remission of our sins. St. John Paul II has a quote on St. John the Baptist. Listen to this. St. John the Baptist is above all a model of faith. Following the example of the great prophet Elijah, I order to listen more attentively to the word of the one Lord of his life. He leaves everything and withdraws to the desert from which he would issue the resounding call, "Prepare the way of the Lord, prepare the way of the Lord." You know, there's a song And there's a part of that song, and it's like the Lord speaking to us in this song. And he says, hey, I hear you say I'm coming back soon, but you don't act like I'm returning. Ooh. Oh, man. So maybe we could share about the second coming and the first coming and the nativity and so on. But how are we acting? Repent. Believe in the gospel. Even as St. John believed in Christ. When he says, the kingdom's coming, the kingdom's coming. Jesus is the kingdom and more. It's coming. The rule and reign of God is coming. And there's a day coming when the kingdoms of this world, whether it be America or other nations of the earth, all their kingdoms and democracies and republics and communism and socialism, all the kingdoms of this world, they will become the kingdoms of our God and of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Hey, I hear you say I'm coming back, but you don't act like I'm returning. Lord, what do you want from me? Prepare. Prepare for my coming. How do I prepare, Lord? Be clean. Repent. Know the scriptures. Look at the saints. Ask their prayers, the prophets and the martyrs. We have a comment here. St. John the Baptist was the messenger preparing the Jewish people for the coming Messiah. Just as we're waiting for Jesus in Advent, we can listen to St. John the Baptist's message. Make straight the way of the Lord and apply it to our own lives during Advent, of purifying our hearts and minds to make a dwelling place for Jesus in our hearts. Patrick from Facebook. Thank you, Patrick. And at this time, whatever we're doing to prepare, there are just times we just need to be still. The Word of God says, be still and know that I'm God. So much self-chatter, maybe even doing good things, busy for our families, we should do all these things. But it's like, are we really hearing the Lord? Are we taking time? Or are we so crowded out that God can't speak to us and say, Jim, this is what I'd like to do with you. These are your rough edges. Let me smooth them out. Or maybe there's people in your life, in your own family or at work or other places, and it's maybe things aren't going as well as they should, or they're bringing up things about you that you may not want to hear, or you think things about them that need to change, and nothing seems to be changing one way or the other. But God is trying to smooth you out. He's trying to make you a smooth stone, like in the river. Not many jagged stones in the river, because the water washes over the stones and smooths them out over time. Oh, living waters of Jesus Christ. Oh, words of John the Baptist. Oh, those who are not doing what I want them to do. Those who aren't asking my advice when I think you should. Those who have broken away from the family and I can't seem to do anything about it, whatever it might be. Oh, Lord, this is the way you're bringing me to yourself. This is the way you're preparing me, Lord. This is hard to take. But Lord, do what you want to do with me. I love that serenity prayer. I've been praying it a lot more these days. I need it in my life. The serenity prayer. Maybe you want to pray that for the remainder of Advent. Lord, grant me serenity. Because I don't seem to have much of it these days, or peace. Why? Grant me the serenity to accept what I can't change. So we're hammering away and hammering away at people, things, situations that you can't change. Grant me the serenity to accept what I can't change, Lord. And help me to accept you smoothing me out because of this. Grant me courage. Grant me courage, Lord. Grant me a fearlessness to change the things that I can change. What can I change, Lord, about me? Most of the time, it's just about you. You can't change him. You can't change her. You can't change the nations of the earth. We could pray for all of that. But who do we think we are? Who do we think we are touching the hearts of other people, even in our family? We touch their hearts. You can't touch people's hearts. Lord, give me courage to change what I can change about me or some things that I can do. And give me wisdom, Lord, because I don't even know the difference of what I can and can't do. Lord, grant me wisdom to know the difference. Another comment. John the Baptist is like the ultimate hype man for Christmas. He gets us all pumped up for Jesus' arrival by preaching repentance, baptizing folks, and pointing out the Messiah. His humility when he says, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals or carry his sandals. I'm not even worthy to do this. Reminds me to prepare my heart for the real star of Christmas. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus the Christ, God with skin, God made poor, God with a face, showing his face to the whole world. And when he comes again in glory, this one will be the judge of the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. Save me, Lord. Continually save me and help me to persevere to the end. So we're going to take a break at this point. There's plenty more to come. It's so great to share this Advent season with you. God wants this to be the best Advent season of your life. No matter how long or short your life is, he wants it to be the best of your life to prepare you to meet him face to face and to embrace him. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Well, welcome back. And to give us her report on the latest happenings in Rome, we go to Joan Lewis. Joan, bring us up to date on happenings there in Rome.
Well, greetings, Jim and Joy, and welcome to Rome on a very special day for all of us, the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, of course, a holy day and a holiday in both Italy and the Vatican. And this feast naturally commemorates the conception of Mary in her mother's womb without original sin. Now, as popes have always done for ages, on December 8th, Pope Leo did recite the Angelus on Sunday. And in just a few hours, he's going to be going to the Piazza di Spagna to place a floral homage at the foot of a column bearing a statue of Mary Immaculate. And he'll also recite the traditional prayer of petition. Now, very early every year on the morning of December 8th, Rome's firemen place a garland of flowers on an arm of that beautiful statue of Mary Immaculate. And by day's end, thousands of Romans have followed in their footsteps with a floral homage. So the column and statue were originally erected with the help of 220 Rome firemen, thus their special honor on this day every year. Now, the ancient Roman marble column was found in 1777 in the Monastery of Our Lady of the Conception in central Rome. And it was brought to Piazza di Spagna on September 8, 1857. And this to mark the dogma of the Immaculate Conception pronounced 3 years earlier. So let's go back a day to yesterday, Sunday, the 7th of December. And Pope Leo, of course, recited the traditional Angelus. And he said, Jesus' coming was not for power or destruction, but rather brought about rebirth and renewal. And this is what the church experienced in the Second Vatican Council, which concluded 60 years ago on December 8th. That experience is renewed when we journey towards the kingdom of God together with all those who eagerly welcome and serve it. Leo then invited Christians to embrace the spirituality of Advent, saying it is very luminous and concrete. Now, we got to go back one more day to Saturday. This was totally awesome. There was the 6th annual concert for the poor, Christmas concert with the poor, which brought 8,000 participants to the Paul VI Hall, 3,000 of whom were those poor that are cared for by Vatican and other institutions. Now, the guest of honor was the Canadian singer and actor, Michael Bublé, and he was accompanied in his performance by the Nova Opera Orchestra and the 200-voice choir of the Diocese of Rome. He just exuded and he transmitted joy and enthusiasm. And at one point, quoting some words said to him by the Pope a day earlier about singing together and would be better, he asked the audience, now don't allow me to sing alone, you've got to join me. And they all clapped in agreement. And he began to sing the song L-O-V-E, Love. And at a certain point, the audience joined in, as did Pope Leo. He obviously knew the words to the song, and with great pleasure and smile, he joined in. That was totally amazing and awesome. So it was a wonderful concert, but for many, many people, even more, it was a spiritual experience. So on that note, a musical note, back to you.
Joan, thanks so much for another wonderful report there from Rome. I love what the Holy Father is saying about the Lord's coming is a time of rebirth, time of renewal, time of great blessing. Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have the founder and executive director of the Fathers of St. Joseph, Devin Schott, on the show to speak with us about his newest book, The Rule, Counsels and Directives for Husbands and Fathers. Devin is absolutely outstanding. He's touching men all over the country, various parts of the world, and he's been a great blessing in my personal life. It's going to be a wonderful word for husbands and fathers. This will be a great book for wives and mothers to get for their sons and their husbands. So we'll speak more about that on Wednesday. This day is a holy day of obligation, the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So if at all possible, you need to get to Mass. I got to go early this morning at 6:30. So be sure that you bless the Lord in that. We've been speaking about St. John the Baptist. One of the words he spoke to his disciples was, when he saw Jesus, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's be ready for the coming of Jesus at Christmas and his second coming. God bless you. You're never alone. You're an important part of this EWTN family, and you're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.